Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here this Ontolog virtual panel, June 18th, presenting the International Association for Ontology and its application. Let me thank Peter Him and for the whole Ontolog infrastructure for this opportunity. It's really exciting to present this new association to the Ontolog members. Well, I'm at the first slide now. You will see, you see two logos just because we do not have an official logo yet. If you go to the website, there is an opportunity to vote for the logo you prefer. Anyway, let's move to slide number two. This is the kind of enterprise we are starting now. is all about interdisciplinarity. Indeed, people working on ontology, on doing ontologies for helping people to talk one each other, to communicate one each other, means to be aware that it is an interdisciplinary work. And indeed, working in an interdisciplinary way at the interfaces among different disciplines, different cultures, different languages, different socio-technical systems, that is not just a technical system, not just information system, but socio-technical systems, well, working at the interfaces of these things, it is definitely hard. It is a difficult thing to do. And anyway, these are the main challenges we have to face. Modern society is intrinsically networked. This is an intrinsically networked society. And ontologies are certainly intended to address such challenges of helping, making people and systems and cultures communicate one each other. So whatever we intend the word ontology means, well, ontology are certainly intended for this purpose. Let me go to slide three now. So, maybe, just because of this, maybe behind these various efforts people are making for related to development and use of ontologies, maybe behind all of this there is a new discipline emerging, or perhaps a new science emerging. Indeed, it is very important to be aware of proposals and initiatives in related areas. People are talking of web science. People are talking of services science. Maybe there is a new genuine science emerging, ontology science or something like that. Anyway, whatever our opinion could be, for sure, a humble, truly interdisciplinary approach is needed for in this perspective. So it is important to let new ideas, new approaches, new methodologies emerge from the mutual cross-fertilization of different disciplines. And there is a lack. Our opinion when we started this whole initiative is that there is a lack of, let's say, reference communities, reference initiatives focused exactly, you know, focused squarely on this mutual cross-fertilization. That's why we believe that this association is definitely needed. It is needed now. Indeed, you know, behind this decision to start up an association like this one, well, there is some history, and the need for this was there for a while. Let me go to slide number four now. Indeed, you see now some a bit of historical background behind this initiative. More exactly, this is not all about, you know, the important milestones in the ontology research all over the world, but these milestones focus on this attempt to build an interdisciplinary community. So these things, these milestones are about previous attempts to see ontology for computer science under a more open perspective. Well, the first, I'm proud to remind of you that the first attempt for setting up an international workshop on formal ontology and information systems in this interdisciplinary perspective was done late as 93 in Padova, in our lab. And some of the key people in the field who have been playing a role for these things are present right now. For instance, John Sowa. And well, at that time, there was already some attention to the ontology field, some interoperability, knowledge sharing. It was the knowledge sharing initiative. So in the computer science area and in AI, there was some awareness of the importance of shared resources. But this in 93, in my opinion, was the first attempt to put together people coming from generally different disciplines, namely philosophy, linguistics, computer science, and so on. Then, after this meeting, we decided to have the first FOIS conference in 98 in Trento. And since then, the cycle of FOIS conference started more or less every 2 years until last year in 2008. We had the latest FOIS conference. Next one will be in 2010 in Toronto. Well, in 2002, more or less, the Ontolog Forum started being an active community of, let's say, community of practice of people interested in the field. We attempted to start up a proposal for an association. Already in 2003, there was a proposal for a European Network of Excellence on axiomatic ontologies, which among other objectives, had the objective of establishing this kind of association. Unfortunately, this attempt failed, was not funded by the community. In 2005, Mark Musen and myself have been contacted by IO Express, who asked us to start a new journal. And now we have this journal, which is Applied Ontology, which is again plays a unique role in the community, being explicitly an interdisciplinary academic journal devoted to ontology and whatever is related to content as an alternative, as a complementary to form and representation issues. More or less in the same period, some other initiatives for building up and for shaping the community in this philosophy, in this interdisciplinary philosophy, were done, mainly by Barry Smith and colleagues. The European Center for Ontological Research was launched, the National Center for Ontological Research, the Japanese Center for Ontological Research. The difference between these initiatives and the kind of things we have done now is that these were consortia of institutions. Okay, a specific group of institutions who decided to do something together. And the Association for Ontology and its applications, on the contrary, is an association of people, which also includes institutions, but it is mainly an association of people. Well, in 2006, we had the first public discussion about having such a kind of association at FOIS in Baltimore. And, well, it took a while to have another public assembly at FOIS in Saarbrücken in 2008. And finally, we have now this association. There was a clear signal from the people attending the FOIS assembly for going ahead for this initiative. Of course, we should be aware that in parallel there are many initiatives going on related to the semantic web, various ontology standardization attempts, and so on. But as far as we know, these things, these initiatives, each of which has its own merits and importance and so on, these initiatives have a different nature. They are mainly, specific consortia, or maybe most of them focus on a specific aspect. And as far as we know, none of them has the kind of broad perspective, broad interdisciplinary perspective we want to have. Let me go to slide 5 now. Well, in this slide, we see an extract from the statute from the official statute of the association, which says that this association is a non-profit organization, the purpose of which is to promote interdisciplinary research and international collaboration at the intersection, okay, at the interface, let's say, between philosophical ontology, linguistics, logic, cognitive science, and computer science. Okay, so these are the main, let's say, disciplines, as well as in the applications of ontological analysis to various areas, namely conceptual modeling, knowledge engineering, knowledge management, information systems development, library information science, scientific research, and semantic technologies in general. So you see that we tried to come up with a compact definition, which really is involves a number of is very, very broad. Let me go to slide 6 now. This again is taken from the statute, and the statute lists a number of typical activities the association will pursue. I'm not going to read all of them. Let me just pick up some of them. Of course, there is education is one of the activities we want to do, to be involved with, educating all interested stakeholders on what ontologies are and how we can use ontologies. And by the way, Anthony Galton and Laurier later in this presentation will say something about this. Of course, we want to promote cooperation among both public and private institutions, whatever. Support the collaborations between research and industry. Support international exchanges with a particular attention to rising and developing countries. We are aware of ontology communities which are growing pretty fast in some countries, like Brazil, for instance, or maybe in China. You know, there is the need of having some exchange with the rest of the international community for setting up something like that, something for shaping the community somehow. Let's say we are aware of this need of good international exchanges, especially in this respect, but not only, of course. Another important activity is the support, supporting the publication of journals, books, whatever scientific and technical literature. And we are very glad of having established already an agreement with IOS Press, such that the members of the association will have free online access to the IOExpress publications in the field, namely the Applied Ontology Journal, the FOIS conference proceedings, and also the FOMI conference proceedings. The FOMI is perhaps less well known. FOMI is the conference we launched some years ago, Formal Ontology Meets Industry. Anyway, all these initiatives are published by IOExpress, and IOExpress will be happy to have this special agreement with our members. And by the way, they are supporting the whole idea of the association. They've been supporting this idea since the beginning. What else? Also, it would be nice to establish to support grants, scholarships, awards, whatever. We shall also, the statute allows the creation of temporary or permanent groups on specific interests and similar things. Let me move to slide number 7, community building. Suggestion for curricula for education activities related to applied ontology. What else? Also, an important area of activity we envision is the possibility to influence concrete policy choices in our field, in the governance of technology, perhaps producing, you know, strategic documents, state-of-the-art reports, and things like that. And of course, doing all these things, we shall try to establish suitable contacts with other associations which pursue similar complementary goals, like, for instance, AAAI, ACL, perhaps the WFC, and whatever. Anyway, these are just possibilities of things, activities the association will be happy to support. Of course, it is up to the members to suggest activities and especially to, you know, to put voluntary work in for having these things, for make sure that these things become concrete. Let me go to slide number 8. This is the current executive council. I must say, coming up with a sufficiently representative council, mediating and integrating different competences, different geographical origin and whatever, hasn't been just that easy task, but anyway, we spent some time in contact we came up with this to this proposal, and we are happy that we have now an executive council which I believe it's a good bunch of people, well motivated, and they know each other, and they definitely cover the field, the kind of field that we are aiming at. And by the way, according to the statute, then this executive council is a provisional body, because it will only stay in charge until the first general assembly. So there was a bootstrap process to be implemented. So as a bootstrap, this group of people is in charge of letting the association start, And then the usual procedures for electing the new council will be used. And just a further note concerning the president, the secretary, and the treasurer, who are all members of our lab. Well, Laurier belongs to the IRIT CNRS in France, but she has a permanent detachment to our lab. Well, this allows at least at the beginning to work in a pretty efficient way. Otherwise, having the treasurer in a different place or the secretary in a different place would have complicated things. So this was the choice we adopted for the time being. Okay, let me go to slide number 9 now. So, summing up the key aspects of this association make up a unique combination. So if we put interdisciplinarity, cooperation between different components of the community together, scientific authoritativeness, these are all important aspects we want to pursue, as well as openness, having a clear legal status, which is important, so we are not just, let's say, a group of people. We have a legal status. We can do things officially and so on. And last but not least, a transparent governance. This is really, really what we want to have. Whatever we do should and will be totally transparent. By the way, the minutes of the executive board meetings are online on the website. So let's go to next slide, number 10. There's no number there. Anyway, next slide. What is the current status in this bootstrap process? Well, we do have a formal registration now, so according to the Italian law, there are about slightly less than 200 people in the mailing list, and for the time being, this mailing list contains people who have expressed interest in becoming members for this association. The online payment is being set up. It requires more or less 1 month from the time we register to the bank to the time we can have the online payment site working. Okay. As soon as the online system will be set up, people from the IOAA mailing list will be invited to go to the website and officially register themselves as members. The fees are pretty small. There is a 15 euro fee for students and 50 euro fee for regular members and 150 euro for institutional members. And the members have the benefits I mentioned to you, including this free online access and also the access to future sponsored conferences such as FOIS 2010. By the way, let's go to next slide. This is about FOIS 2010 in Toronto. The voice, one decision we have achieved is that the voice conference for the future will be managed officially by the association. In the past, there was a steering committee, and now the steering committee decided to dissolve and passing the ball to the association. So FOIS is now a conference officially managed by the association. Voice 2010 will be in Toronto in May, and the program chairs are Anthony Galton and Rishiro Mizoguchi, who are both in the editorial, in the executive board, and the local chairs will be Mike Gruninger, who is also in the executive board, and Chris Welty from IBM. Okay, that's it. And of course, we are thinking of having the first official assembly meeting, physical assembly meeting, in at Voice 2010. Just a note, and just let's go to next slide. Next slide is present the journal Applied Ontology. I hope some of you are already aware of it, and certainly this journal will have a direct link with the association. Although the journal per se is an academic initiative and will maintain its autonomy, so to speak. Of course, we might establish links with other journals as well. Next slide. Okay, this is the list of contributions from the IAOA EC members, which will be presented soon after I'm finished. So Peter Yim will comment on the relationship between Ontolog and the IAOA, and discussing also the role communities and so on. Anthony Galton and Laure Vieux will present some proposals, some preliminary thoughts concerning the education activities we might organize. Leo Orbst will discuss the role of communities of interest. Michael Gruninger will talk about standards. Paul Bittelaar about the relationship between ontologies and natural language processing. John Bateman about some research aspects concerning the role of modularity and related things. That's it. Well, before passing the microphone to Peter Yim, let me insist on the fact that being an association, your active contribution is welcome. I'm at slide 14 now. Also in the discussion we shall have, hopefully after this presentation, we are welcome to address suggestions, recommendations, questions, and concerns by everybody, either immediately after this presentation, during this online meeting, or offline by email or whatever. Okay, that's it. I now pass the microphone to Peter Yim.
Thank you, Nicola. Hi, everyone. I'm Peter Yim from the Ontolog Forum. I'm going to talk a little bit about communities, collaboration, and collective IQ in relation to IAOA. So let's move on to the next slide, number 2 on my deck and number 16 on the overall deck. Talking about community, I'm generally referring to communities of practice, particularly with respect to Ontolog Forum. John C. Lee Brown, the then director of Xerox PARC in Palo Alto, coined this term back in the 80s, and it refers to a small group of people who are working together, but they're not a team, not a task force, and not even a formal organization, but they are peers in the execution of real work, and what holds them together is a common sense of purpose and a real need to know what each other knows. So the keywords are they have work to do, and I guess when they find out what each other are doing, they each get better in trying to do their own job. This comes off from examples of, let's say, Xerox people chatting around a water cooler, Xerox machine repairmen, design engineers, salesmen, marketing people, and so on. I mean, they're not trying to do the other person's job, but by knowing what the other person does, I mean, they know their job better. And so this is sort of a very typical interdisciplinary situation whereby everybody improves in having such a conversation. Then comes a very key concept that I would like to introduce, and it's something by Doug Engelbart that he has been sort of inspiring a lot of work, including my work, on by describing this notion called network improvement communities. Since Doug was talking about communities, mostly virtual communities, then he introduced the notion whereby these communities are networked, I mean, through something like the internet now. And then the major aspect is that the improvement communities are consciously and effectively employing a dynamic knowledge repository. So they actually use some means to capture and accumulate and allow the community members to access that knowledge. This was what we were inspired with when building our Ontolog, and then comes IAOA, which I'm totally supportive of. Now let's move on to the next slide, slide number 3 on my deck. So what we're trying to do is to share knowledge, obviously, is to engage an entire community of people rather than having people work as individuals. Now we have more people that gets involved. We're also trying to do bootstrapping, and in Doug Engelbart's sense, that is like we try to improve on improvement. We try to sort of create an environment that allows sort of exponential build out of improvements. And in Doug's notion, this is the only way we can be able, as humanity, be able to tackle urgent and complex issues that are escalating also in an exponential fashion. And Doug coined this term called collective IQ, which is a measure of how well people work collectively and how quickly and intelligently people can respond to a situation collectively. So the bottom line is, I mean, we're not just doing this for fun or because we're passionate about it, but we are actually trying to harness the collective knowledge and intelligence of a lot of people that are formed into communities. So I draw people to a reference where Doug has explicitly spelled out his bootstrap vision and mission. And on the slide, it's linked to that one very short document. So going on to slide number 4, about Ontolog that I've been doing, which is a community of people interested in ontologies, and IAOA, again, a community of people trying to do the things Nicola described earlier. So I can see both communities have a shared goal, and that is to advocate the research, development, and application of ontology. We have a shared approach, and it's a very important approach, that of being open. Of course, then there are differences, and that's what makes it extremely interesting and complementary. Ontolog uses a community of practice in the sense of John Seely Brown, and IAOA takes a sort of more formal step in terms of a professional, association. Maybe not exactly the way people use it in a sort of disciplinary sense, but definitely in a much more formal setting than the community of practice that Ontolog is known for. So we have the situation of a water cooler conversation versus the institution. It's like the Tao of ontology now, where on the one hand you have the informal and on the other hand you have the formal organization legally incorporated and so on. And then it's like the cathedral and the bazaar situation, and I believe both are necessary and both, when worked complementarily, will do things that neither of them alone will be able to do. And as I had depicted in this cartoon image, this is where we could see Doug Engelbart meeting John McCarthy, sort of the iconic images of artificial intelligence and augmented intelligence coming to work together. And on behalf of the co-conveners of Ontolog, namely myself, Leo Oberst, and Kurt Conrad, Ontolog is committed to supporting and collaborating with IAOA in whatever way we can. And we look forward to doing a lot more things jointly. So I will pass the floor over to Laura and Anthony to tell us about education.
Hello, I'm Laura Vieux. So I work for IRIS CNRS and Laboratory of Applied Ontology in Fortune in Trento. And now I pass to Anthony because he will be the mentor.
Hello, I'm Anthony Galton and I work at the University of Exeter in the UK. So we're going to talk about education and the IAOA. Can we now move on to slide 2? That's slide 20 in the assembled collection of slides. And in fact, in the statutes of the association, the very first activity listed as something that our purpose is to promote is educating interested stakeholders on what ontologies are and how they can be effectively utilized. So education is going to be an important part of what we do. And because ontology is a relatively new field, there isn't yet really a sort of established way of doing things in education, in higher education. There's very few curricula dedicated to it. There's no textbook available. And just to give an example of that, I looked on the web for ontology courses, and the only thing I could really find was in a site which was actually a site for Indian students who want to study abroad, a site called UniGuru, and they listed precisely one ontology course in the whole of the United States. And when I looked at what that was, it was PhD with a focus on ontology at Buffalo. So ontology clearly doesn't have a high profile in the educational world at the moment. Having said that, it's clear that there are plenty of people, plenty of modules in different courses in different places which do have ontological content. I myself, for example, teach a master's level module which contains quite a lot of stuff on ontology, and I know other people who do. So one of the things we want to do is to try to get something organized about ontology in education, and so it is planned that the association will set up a group to guide and coordinate all our educational activities. Let's now move on to slide 3, where we've started to list a number of activities which this group could take part in. So one point is that, as I've already mentioned, there certainly do exist courses that contain ontological content, but at the moment the only way you can actually find them is by crawling the web. There doesn't seem to be any coordinated and comprehensive listing of such things. So one thing which I think it would be useful for us to do would be actually to maintain a database of existing courses that contain some ontological content. Then there's the question of what that content is, what should be taught in a course which is purporting to educate people about ontology. So one thing we could do is to start putting together some recommendations for a standard curriculum or a set of standard curricula to cover different aspects of ontology, which course developers can draw upon to use as a guideline when developing their courses and to decide which bits of ontology they need to include in them. So in addition to that, it would be obviously helpful if we could create and maintain a library of resources which teachers could draw upon. These could include things like research papers, tutorial material, examples of ontologies in various different formats, maybe some editing tools for creating ontologies and so on. And in addition to actually producing our own resources, there's clearly a lot of resources out there, and it would be useful to maintain a set of links to these, as well as maintaining a bibliography of printed material that is relevant to ontological education. Another idea is that we should maintain a discussion forum specifically for ontology in education, and perhaps have some frequently asked questions and answers to them and that sort of thing. Now, if we move on to slide 4, there are some slightly perhaps more tentative suggestions here, but things which I think it would be good things for the association to get involved in. One of them is obviously subject to the budget allowing these things, if we could provide financial support to PhD students, particularly perhaps those from developing countries who might not otherwise have access to such support, for attending events endorsed by the association, so summer schools and conferences such as FOIS, for example, particularly ones where the student is to present a paper, which they won't be able to do unless they have the support. Another possibility is that we should organise our own summer schools, either independently or with other organisations, and that's clearly something which it would be worthwhile trying to do. As I mentioned right at the beginning, that there isn't any kind of standard textbook on ontology for educators, and perhaps what we should do is to support an initiative to actually put together such a standard textbook which we as an association could endorse as an appropriate one to use. The format for some of these things, particularly the things in the previous slide, obviously some of these things would be best done via a wiki, I would think. So the knowledge repository, generally maintain the database of existing courses, the library of resources and so on, there would be scope for interactive discussion and people adding things from all over the place. And then we would have a series of pages edited by the group, the actual education group within the IAOA, for the material which we are actually specifically producing. As suggested. A final suggestion which has been made is that we should perhaps have a workshop at the next Voice conference specifically to discuss all these issues and actually get the whole enterprise off the ground. Now, I think that's all I've got to say, so I'll now hand over to Laura just in case she has anything further to say, and then we can finish. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony. I don't think I have anything to add at this point. You say it all. So I will now leave the floor to Leo Ox, results of ontology and control vocabulary for communities of interest.
Thanks. Hi, folks. This is Leo Obers from MITRE. What I'd like to talk to you about is the connection between ontologies and controlled vocabularies, and especially from the perspective of communities of interest. We're on slide. My first slide here is slide 23 in the combined deck. Now we're on second slide of my set. Ontologies, controlled vocabulary. So I have a definition of both on either side, the controlled vocabulary and the ontology on the right. So a controlled vocabulary is really terms, words or phrases in a natural language, and then typically vetted according to some criteria in a community. An ontology defines the meaning of that controlled vocabulary in the form of a conceptual model about essentially about the world. And of course, the controlled vocabularies, the structure is machine processable, but semantics is really just implicit. So it's typically given in natural language definitions, and humans must interpret it with their own internal knowledge stores. As opposed to an ontology where the semantics is explicit, so the machines can interpret. And then just down below is a very simple definition, or example rather, of terms with some weak term semantic relationships, like broader than, narrower than. And then over on the right is a picture kind of an equivalent ontology, potentially equivalent. Okay, I'm on the next slide, slide 3 in my deck, controlled vocabularies and ontologies. Controlled vocabularies and terminologies, thesauri, etc., are necessary. They're going to be necessary lexical resources, and they're always going to be necessary because humans use language. But these controlled vocabularies and terminologies are ways, really, of referring to concepts and real-world reference. In our internal understanding of our natural language, of course, these terms and phrases act as kind of indices into our mental cognitive representation. In the world, in information systems, they point or index to ontology, so concepts, real-world reference and associated relations, properties, etc. And so the term really, in a terminology or vocabulary, means a concept. So it has to index that concept, otherwise there's no meaning, or it's just a meaning that's given in a data dictionary or some other kind of dictionary. And of course, here we're talking about both terminologies and ontologies as engineering products. Next slide, my slide 4. Communities of interest are really human communities that typically transcend institutional boundaries, and they come together based upon mutual interest and the need to share information. So they typically self-organize in the federal government, where we support many of these, and in fact it's a very large paradigm in the U.S. federal government. There are emerging practices, best practices, methodologies for communities of interest. But in general, the community of interest tries to determine a common vocabulary and a common set of meanings for that vocabulary. So the ontology itself that's constructed from the vocabulary, that represents and means the COI, community of interest vocabulary. And of course, both controlled vocabularies and ontologies are absolutely necessary. Next slide, my final slide, slide 6, is just pointing to what the International Association of Ontologies and Applications and their applications can really provide in the way of assisting communities and institutions. So the organization really can provide best practices and lessons learned from many vocabulary and ontology efforts. Encouraging the linking of terminologies to these formal representations, we can provide better understanding explain to communities and institutions what's required to link terminologies and ontologies. And, of course, formal and informal educational outreach, talking about what semantics is and what ontologies are. So semantics really is ways of referring to things, and ontology is represents what is referred to. And, of course, communities of interest need both. Finally, the organization can support the development of better engineered human interfaces to applications and services by using well-founded practices to link terminologies and ontologies. Okay, thank you, folks. I'm going to turn this over now to Michael Gruninger. Mike?
Thank you, Bill. And so as we've already heard in several earlier presentations, the idea of standards has arisen, and I just want to spend a few moments elaborating the relationship between the association, ontologies, and standards. So if we move to slide 29, we can see that the two different communities, the ontology community and the standards community, have a very close relationship. Both are trying to identify the terminology together with a common understanding of the meanings for the terms, whether it's the terms in the standard or the terms within the ontology. And both are attempting to support the shareability of knowledge, the reusability of knowledge, and the integration of either software applications or the integration of databases. And in addition, there's also a kind of a shared idea, a common idea between the two in the sense of it's a kind of a community kind of process in which we develop standards and a community process in which we develop ontologies. And so there is a pretty close relationship here. And if we move to slide 30, there are a lot of possible interactions that between these two communities. And in particular, the Ontology Summit this year at NIST brought together people from the standards communities and the ontology communities to try to see and identify several projects which could be pursued from different kinds of directions. There was the idea of using ontologies to support the development of standards or perhaps the analysis of standards and potentially the extension, in particular of information standards in various kinds of industrial domains. Also investigated at the summit was the idea of designing ontologies to formalize existing standards and to perhaps support new standards. And along these lines, this could include, for example, the ontological analysis of existing standards using techniques such as AutoClean to identify potential problems and maybe semantic ambiguities within existing standards, and then use ontologies to perhaps even re-engineer some existing standards. Or we could look at ontologies to support the integration of existing standards and maybe ask the question of potentially identifying new ontologies that could serve as the foundations for standards. And so on the one hand, we can look at ontologies helping the standards community, but you can also look at how the standards community feeding into the ontology community in the sense of designing, again, common ontologies that can play the role of standards within some community. And this actually has been a big topic of discussion in previous ontolog discussions, the idea of perhaps having standard upper ontologies or standard foundational ontologies. And so this issue has received a lot of attention. There are also the notions of having standards for ontology representation languages. And some of this has already been pursued within the standards communities. So Common Logic was standardized within ISO. OWL and RDF have been standardized within W3C. And there has been some other work, say, related to UML within the OMG. And more recently, there has been some work in providing perhaps proposed standards for ontology metadata particularly arising out of the NEON project in Europe and being taken along within the BioPortal project at Stanford. And so there is a lot of work still being done, in this case more emphasis on the ontology metadata. So if we move to slide 31, I'm just going to give a few kind of comments on how we see the role that the association can play in these interactions, which I've just kind of discussed. Now, we do not want to be in the position of sponsoring or advocating specific proposals for standards or specific standards projects. The association will be probably playing a better role in facilitating various kinds of forums, various kinds of technical groups in which these ideas are discussed, and the potential outcome can be a standards proposal which can then be submitted to the appropriate international standards bodies. So, for example, if there were a proposal for a standard upper ontology, then the association could sponsor workshops, online discussions, perhaps even online repositories. And after a lot of discussion, you know, this could then be submitted to standards bodies such as ISO or W3C or et cetera. Another angle, the association could play the role of coordinating various different kinds of ontology-related standards projects, cases where there's a lot of overlap between projects, and so we would play the role kind of as kind of a neutral coordinator. But again, the idea would be being more of an incubator and a facilitator rather than a proponent of a particular kind of an approach. And overall, I mean, the other, you know, big idea throughout all this is that we would want to raise public awareness in terms of the role that ontologies can play within standards, that by having ontology-based standards, the standards community can progress, and as I discussed in the previous slide with the different kinds of interactions, the ontology community can also gain new kinds of progress. So those are just a few comments on the kind of the potential roles that we can play, and it can be a very exciting idea. I think there is another point that some people have raised, coming up with community, approaches to evaluating ontologies, maybe perhaps even association kind of principles for ontology quality. But I think these might be more appropriately, again, discussed in various kinds of forums and workshops and conferences that the association will be sponsoring. Thank you. So that's all I kind of wanted to say today. I'll pass this on to Paul, who I believe has managed to connect finally.
Yeah, hi. I hope you can hear me well. So I just want to put in a bit of thinking about the relationship between ontologies and natural language processing. So I'm on slide 32. I'm now going to slide 33. And basically, if we look into the history a bit of ontologies and natural language processing, it was actually a very tight interaction between natural language processing and knowledge representation ontologies. So I put up some major work, Nierenberg, Gary Hobbs, John Bateman, who was here also. So this is sort of 70s, 80s, 90s work, and knowledge representation was very central to natural language processing in terms of a deep understanding of the text. However, sort of conclusions at the end of the 90s was, okay, this is very good, but very costly. It's very costly to do knowledge representation, and it's less robust in applications. So we needed more cheaper, more robust, to show semantic approaches. So that turned into more empirical methods in natural language processing, and knowledge representation basically lost its central place in natural language processing. If we go on to slide 34, so then basically sort of 90s and less, 10 or more years, two things in parallel happened. The knowledge representation community sort of discovered also the web, and this turned into the semantic web languages, things like all, but also more distributed and collaborative ontology development, which is more and more happening. And that, of course, addressed the issue of the costliness. It became and it will become less costly, and things will become more robust, and apologies can be shared, and so on. On the other hand, the natural language processing, in a way, also influenced by the web, there was more and more data, so more and more robust statistical methods could be developed, which in turn resulted into possibilities to look again in semantic analysis, but now, in a combination of these robust syntactic methods, and of course, getting slowly back into the idea of, okay, now we need a representation of the semantic. So, and this is also influenced by more and more applied work, I think, in natural language processing, where you're looking at ontology-based information extraction for things like biomedical, business intelligence domains. So we're actually seeing now slowly a moving back together of knowledge representation and natural language processing, I think. And if we go to the next slide, so what we're seeing, on the one hand, natural language processing, text mining, giving input for ontology development, so ontology learning based on text mining of the large text collection. On the other hand, we have ontology population, semantic annotation, where natural language processing uses ontologies to extract instances of text collections according to a given ontology. Of course, now here, and I'm going at the specifically at the IAOA ideas and ambition, which is, okay, if we have text on the one hand, we have natural language processing, we have ontologies on the other hand, the ontologies, of course, need to be suitable to work or to be used in text analysis. So what is often missing in ontologies is linguistic information about the linguistic realization of concepts defined in the ontology. There is some idea of terms, if it's a relatively good ontology which has terminology associated with it, maybe defined in scores nowadays. But even then, there is still deeper linguistic information needed to with lexical information about these terms. So how to recognize maybe parts of these terms and variations of these terms, and all map them to the same concept. So this is something that I've been working also with colleagues. I've put up a link here to some work that have been doing the last couple of years on the Lex Info model, where we're actually working on an ontology model, a lexical model, which itself is an ontology model, to appropriately, properly integrate linguistic information with ontologies. And I think this is also something, not maybe specifically like info model, but this is something that the association also could play a role in, to have to guide ontology developers in these aspects of ontologies. Right, now I'll give over to John, I think.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you. So next, my name is John Bateman, and given that we've heard some of the things which the association is going to be aiming for, one of the things is that it can serve as a organizing force or a structure within which various activities can take place. And we've heard some of the activities which could take place. And to finish up our little brief introductions here, I'm going to add another one, which is currently on our minds and has been on our minds for the past 6-7 years here in Bremen, the University of Bremen, where I am. You see on the first slide that there are a range of different groups working in ontology, and I just want to bring out some of the experiences or some of the conclusions we've come to and present them as one of the possible ways which the association, or one of the activities that the association could pursue. Also in brackets, and going back to Nicola's first slide there, you can see on the right-hand part of the slide three logos selected at random. There are a whole bunch on the website, and I invite everybody to vote for their favorites. That's a little commercial break in brackets there. So for the next slide, we've been working, as you can see here in Bremen, on a range of different ontologies, linguistic semantics for natural language processing. Also for the last 6 years, very much on ontologies of space, spatial representation. And currently we're involved in European projects in the areas of tourism, assisted living and buildings and navigation. So a whole range of different kinds of ontologies which we are wanting to get into open ontology repositories. Now, the lesson that we've drawn from all of this work is shown on the next slide, which I've used before in Ontolog presentation. And that is, we are very much convinced that one of the ways of making progress here, and one of the necessary ways, is to really do justice to the ontological diversity which stands behind all of these different areas. So this is not just to do with different domains like time, times of events, different kinds of routes, but the little boxes could also represent different communities with different ways of seeing the world relating to different disciplines. So that also relates back to Nicola's point at the outset about the association being very much concerned with different communities and different disciplines. We've come to the conclusion that there's no real sense in trying to mash these all together because the perspectives are too different, and doing that just doesn't do justice to the insights within any one discipline. So we've been very much looking at formal mechanisms for filling in some of those blue arrows between these modules and also defining what are those boxes, what are those modules, how do we define modules. So we very much look at a ontological description of a state of affairs as a combination of different perspectives, different ontologies. And we see that on the next slide as well, very briefly. In our current work, we're taking that further. In the last areas with the European project, which we're currently involved in, to do with assisted living for the elderly or aging population, we take exactly the same kind of perspective, where we decompose large ontologies and try and break them down into modules which really supports reuse and also development in a more favorable way. So this is very much a loose coupling of ontological modules. So next slide, please. Now, those of you who may have access to the original overheads will see an animation on the right-hand side. Those of you who don't will see a strange blurred picture of two things overlaid one another, which I'll ignore for the moment, although you can find the originals on our last Ontolog talk. What we've been working on is tools to support this kind of distributed loose coupling, and this is very much in the direction which one sees in several ontological efforts, initiatives these days. We've been particularly concerned with formalizing ontological modularity, so we have formalizations of castle and sumo and various representations of space, and also thinking about methodologies and evaluation processes for these. Next slide, please. So drawing out of all of this experience, this seems to be an area where an activity line could be followed within the association. So we'd very much like to get in contact with other potential members in the association to get different perspectives and to bring these things together. And the proposed action area there, one of several, but the one which we are particularly concerned with at present, is ontology structuring mechanisms and ontological modularity. And the idea there is in this diagram, which I've taken from an old email from one of John Sober's very useful emails from the old Tsuo mail list, where we have the idea of formalizing ontologies by breaking them down into a lattice of theories. Now, the lattice of theories for us is very much a reality. This is the way which we formalize our ontologies. And we'd like to be filling in that blue line of theories and working out the relationships between these, and then working out how one can perhaps standardize this modularization layer itself. This seems to be an area now which is crying out and ready for standardization. We have many ontology languages which are beginning to come to the edges of what they can do in terms of specifying modularity and structured relationships between components. And I think that's an area where there will be a lot of extremely useful work to be done. So I think that's a very good activity, which could then lead into standardization initiatives. Also in terms of best practice and designing courses on ontology, I think building in an awareness of how modularity can work and how it can be formalized could be an extremely beneficial component of our next generation of ontology developers. And I think there, sort of the last line there is like thinking small rather than monolithic is certainly, from our perspective, an exciting way to go. So we'd like to hear and see if there's a room or interest amongst or from the community and different communities which could get together and follow this line through within the association as one of its activity lines. So I think that's a burning issue, which is certainly an exciting one, and that's where I'd end up. Thank you.
Okay, I guess we turn this back to Nicola.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to all the members of the Executive Council for their presentation, and let us discuss some questions or comments or whatever.
Okay.
Maybe we should also decide how much time is remaining.
Yes, we have about 20.
Let me ask for questions and comments right now.
Okay, we have about 27 minutes. The best thing to do is if you're already on the chat session, then let's queue everyone up. Please press that hand button now. Who's speaking?
Pat Hayes.
We'll start with you. Go ahead.
Well, okay, quick question. Several people spoke about education. Given the very broad scope and very multidisciplinary scope that Nicola described in his introduction, is there a consensus, or do people think there's a consensus about what should be in a course on ontologies?
No, that's a good question, Pat. I don't know if there is a consensus on everything that would be included. I think it's very similar to what Nicola was saying. There's probably a lot of overlap between what people are doing, but I think one of the main things that we'd want to do would be to just start collecting syllabuses and you know, that people are including in their ontology courses, and just to see what is the overlap and is there a consensus and how divergent are you know, the kinds of the courses that people are offering really are. That's a big open question.
Can I talk?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to add is that this is precisely the reason why we suggested that there may not be just one curriculum, but a set of curricula, depending on the main orientation that the university or the professors want to take. And so there won't be just one way of doing a course on ontology, I believe. Also, I also believe that implementing interdisciplinary aspects in a course like the ones we're thinking of is a very difficult issue. And I really believe that we need input from many experience to understand what is possible to do and how to do it.
Pat, this is Will. Some internal courses we've done, we've tried to shorten the curricula, but we cover things such as you know, what semantics is, what syntax is, what logic is, what knowledge representation or ontology languages are, then what an ontology provides. But in addition, what historically is behind ontologies, then ontological engineering, and then applications of ontologies for specific users and, you know, general applications.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, I think my question has been answered, which was I wondered if there was a consensus that there was a sort of focus, and clearly not, and I think that's great. We're in discovery.
That's right. I think it'll be exciting if we have the workshop at the next voice to kind of get this discussion you know, really coming to some kind of fruition.
Right. I'm reminded of the early days of cognitive science. A similar sense of excitement mixed with general mild confusion, which is great. Very creative.
Pat Cassidy, go ahead.
Hi, Pierre. I also had a question on the education thing, and part of the question was answered, but my suggestion is that rather than wait to until the next Voice conference to really make a start. I would hope that we'd have some kind of the beginnings of the gathering, as Mike has suggested, of the data, the different curricula that people are currently using in ontology courses. And actually, they all suggest that we actively hunt down those who are giving ontology courses who are not already participating in this this particular telephone call, and have some kind of wiki or email list that specifically is oriented toward this specific issue. I think it's a very important issue, and I'd like to see it pursued as quickly and actively as we can. And I just throw in a little comment here that my suspicion is that someone who's giving an ontology course probably has a particular point of view, and that maybe what the IOAO, I don't know how you pronounce it, YAWA, the YAWA could do is to, say, suggest a core curriculum that will leave time within a single year course for the local instructor to deal with more details of the particular systems they're interested in. That's it.
Okay. Thanks. Nicola?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. Now, go ahead.
Sorry, there was, I guess there was a local problem here. Anyway, answering Pat Hayes concerning consensus, of course it is a crucial issue. But the point is what we can do is, first of all, expose what the different arguments are, make them clear, trying to really understand what the different points are, and then if the radical disagreements are there, like in every, you know, the only point is to vote. That's it. The fact that the association has its own internal rules, I believe, is a guarantee for, let's say, solving consensus in critical cases. So my point is, first of all, try to understand what the different positions are, make them clear, and if really necessary, to then we vote using the rules that we have decided. That's it. Very simple.
Okay. Just quickly respond to that. I didn't mean to start an argument, but I don't think you're going to bridge methodological differences between academic fields by voting. But
of course,
okay,
yes. only a majority. In some cases, only, you know, of course, the main academic differences will remain. The only point that if certain decisions are critical for the association itself, okay,
oh, yes.
Let's say sponsoring or non-sponsoring a conference, for instance, okay, it could be, well, too bad.
No, I agree, Nicola, I'm with you entirely. I misunderstood you.
Okay.
John Sowell here. I don't have the ability to click a hand. Can I get on the queue?
Oh, please. Go ahead, John.
Okay. I like the idea that John Bateman mentioned about trying to organize the ontologies and relate them to natural language, and also the similar points that Paul made. And in the work that we've been doing at our company, VivoMind, we've had a lot of similar issues, and we discovered that there are very detailed issues about reasoning about the natural language stuff in a very low-level, what Psych would call a micro-theory, but that the upper levels are extremely difficult to use for doing detailed analysis of natural language text. And this is something that also people at PARC and now PowerSet have also said, that they use an upper level that has mainly just a hierarchy and very few axioms, because the axioms really come in to the level at which you're doing the detailed analysis, the detailed reasoning about the particular problem at hand. And I think that there's a lot that we have to develop along those lines of trying to relate our micro theories to one another through an upper level that has very few axioms, and because that then down at the lower level where you have to do your detailed analysis, that's where you really solve your problems. Any comment about those issues from anybody?
Yeah, I think this is John. I think this is a good example of exactly the kind of experiences which have to be drawn together. I'd agree entirely that for different tasks, there are going to be different kinds of ontological organizations with different kinds of information in them, including different degrees of axiomatization. So I know that, say, in our approach, we would separate that out into different layers, and the part of the ontology or one of the components of the ontology which is used for the natural language analysis has virtually no axioms. It's not very sophisticated at all. But then we relate that by loose coupling to the very richly axiomatized areas which we use for particular more domain-related reasoning, for example, in spatial calculi or doing detailed reasoning about space. So it sounds very compatible. So I think that is an example of how bringing together these different kinds of experiences would be very useful within the structure of the association if it supports that.
Okay, I think that's something that we would find very interesting because it would be also important to relate these to different methodologies. Rather than having a single uniform methodology for everything, we have to talk about these kinds of methodologies for particular purposes and then discuss how they fit together with other methodologies. So, for example, somebody who is doing an ontology that is going to be a legislated ontology for all of the applications in a particular business, they might want to have an upper level that has a lot of detail so that every one of the lower levels will be using that. On the other hand, if that same company is going to share data with another company that has a totally different upper level, they are going to have to push those axioms out of the upper level because those axioms are very likely going to cause incompatibility among those two companies. And so there's a lot of issues that really have to be sorted out, and they haven't been sorted out very well in most of the discussions we've been hearing on, say, Ontolog Forum and other kinds of things.
Absolutely, I agree.
Joanne Luciano, I'm on the queue. I don't know where I am, and I do have a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, well, first I just really want to underscore what I think it was John Sella just said. So the application and utility define what tools you need in order to achieve it. So I like the idea of a core curriculum, and I like the idea, actually, of teaching the different positions. I think that's important in education to show the contrasting different positions and points of view. In my own personal experience in educating myself in ontologies, initially for the BioPax initiative, which used OWL, I was funded by NSF to go to University of Manchester and work with those groups. And I think they probably have the biggest developed curriculum in ontology engineering that I know of, and I'm happy to be corrected if that's not true. So that's one place where we could look for resources. But I think it's also important, just as John was saying, to teach from the applications. So, for example, the different applications of ontologies, that in NLP, in annotating genomic data, in data cleaning, in integration, and categorization. So teaching from the utility, you know, how useful is this ontology in for a particular application. And then across the ontology spectrum, I think it's also important to educate along that spectrum from, you know, folksonomies all the way up to the formal logic systems, separating them sort of, you know, at natural pieces along the way, taxonomy, thesauri, and teaching the students what those different, what the different levels of semantic strength, if you will, are useful for what types of applications. So I think it actually, in my experience, it appears to be a somewhat of a bell curve. Like in the taxonomy and thesauri, in the middle range, you get the biggest bang in, for example, using it for search and navigation of browsers. But not every application is going to need the formal logic. And, you know, and of course, down on the other end, on the lower end of the spectrum, taxonomies have a utility as well. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Joanne. Pat, are you done with your question? You might want to lower your hand if you have. You're done. Peter Yim, I'm actually next. One comment and a plug I want to put in. I mean, actually, it's relevant to Michael Gruninger's talk about standards. Is to highlight that on this same forum, on the Log Forum tomorrow, I think this is very strategically important session where which Frank Okun, who chairing, and the group tomorrow, Frank's session tomorrow, actually is bringing together people from both the ontology community as well as people from the standards development community, and hopefully make a first move in trying to do a ontology-based standard, one ontology-based standard on units of measures and quantities and so on. So if you're interested in ontology standards, come back tomorrow. Okay, Mike Bennett.
Hi, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Excellent. Okay, thanks for that. I just want to pick up, John's covered this slightly already, but I was going to pick up the point in John Bateman's slide about the Lattice theories and bringing these ontologies together. I think from conversations I've been having at Semtech, there's a real appetite for finding the standards in the same way people can use Dublin Core and so on, things like geotemporal standards and so on. More and more of these industry standards with some kind of real industry reality behind them should be coming more online as being ontologies, and they're being usable ontologies everybody can refer to. And the lattice of, what's really lattice of ontological commitment is how I see it. I mean, I think we all need to do a lot more thinking about that, and I think John highlighted that very well as well. So I guess I'm just sort of saying, what's the next step? You know, and how do we make this happen? Because I've been having lots of conversations about that here at Atlantic Technology, and I know there's people that want to carry this forward.
Okay. Any comment?
If this is an activity which does find resonance, then that would be one of the things which the association could take up in the form of workshops, in the form of virtual meetings, and just sharing information to get the ball rolling. I think that would be great. This could be another thing for FOIST next year, another one of the satellite workshops, if we don't end up having an enormous number of workshops.
To help us remember this, with someone like Mike or maybe John, who's made the comment, also try to capture it on the chat board, because, I mean, that goes into the proceedings. So at least besides the recorded voice, we have a text record of this being brought up and discussed. Pat is still next in line.
Well, I do have one quick comment about the modularity issue. Modularity is, of course, great when it's possible, and some things like time or maybe even units of measure are so simple that they have very few points of interaction with the rest of the ontology, and they are very suitable for modularity. With the sort of work I've been doing, I see high levels of cross-correlation among many different things which you might consider as being potential modules. And I'm kind of skeptical about how modular you can get. There's more than one way to modularity. You can have a fairly well-integrated foundation ontology and have the utility to extract from it only those parts you need. And that, in effect, also can create modules out of the entire conglomerate. So, yes, it's an issue that's worth pursuing, but there's more than one way to approach it. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Pat. Giancarlo?
Yes. Hi, I'm Giancarlo Guisardi. So Nicolo mentioned in his presentation about I'm representing this community in Brazil. Nicolo mentioned about Brazil. He was here last year visiting us. This is a big community and fast-growing community, and one which has a lot of interactions with industry, with industrial projects. On one hand, I've been working since I got here a few years ago to promote this community in Brazil. And so on one hand, I'm putting myself in the position to help the association in any way I can to in this effort of promoting ontological research and education in Brazil. On the other hand, I have a question, which is how could that be done? I mean, I think thinking about a structure like having a Brazilian chapter of the association would be an overkill. So I'm wondering how this could be done officially.
Can I answer to this? This
is Nicola. Yes, please.
Well, Giancarlo, we just certainly there is space for these local initiatives, and we were certainly, as you know, we were certainly be thinking about Brazil when we discussed these points. Well, we just have to invent the proper way. The possibility, as you mentioned, is to establish a special chapter, a national chapter, or a particular chapter for a certain geographic area. Could be Brazil, could be South America, or whatever. This must be sorted out somehow. Some associations do have these chapters, which help in getting visibility and so on. The whole thing needs to be explored. Currently, what we have in the statute is just the possibility for having these things. And let's see. Certainly, if you, let's say, as a representative of the Brazilian community, raise the point, for sure a proper discussion needs to be set up.
Okay, thanks, Nicola. You can.
The point is that we have no immediate answer, but certainly it is an important point. We are happy to collaborate with.
Sure, I just wanted to raise the point. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we are actually about 2 minutes from the end of the session, so I guess it's a convenient juncture to end the open discussion and turn the floor back to Nicola for a quick wrap-up. Nicola.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Well, thanks, everybody, for participation. I'm seeing some questions and answers and suggestions on the chat log. This log will be recorded, I guess, and certainly I encourage the people who raised the specific points to feel free to mail us, or let's say mail me, as soon as we have some tool for supporting the discussion, we have to implement things in the proper way with the support of Ontolog. So there isn't such a general tool right now, but let's see. What else? Thanks everybody, and we really need the enthusiasm and the participation of everybody. And keep your eye posted on the website. Soon there will be a procedure for formally applying for being a member. And we shall, as soon as this procedure is ready, we shall post a message to the general mailing list of interested people. Thanks, everybody.
Let me say, Nicola, thanks from me and I'm sure a lot of other people for taking the initiative to get this thing organized.
Thank you. Who's speaking?
Pat Hayes.
Ah, okay. Thanks, Pat. This is particularly welcome from you.
Don't worry, I'm mellowing in my old age.
Okay, it was nice hearing you and talking to you.
Okay,
bye-bye, everybody.